Lesson 14, The Law of Consecration, Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual. Purpose: to help class members understand the law of consecration and its eternal purposes and desire to consecrate their lives more fully to the service of God. Preparation: 1. Prayerfully study the following scriptures and other materials. A. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verses 30 through 42. Section 51. Section 78. Section 82. Section 104, verses 11 through 18, and the other scriptures in this lesson. B. Our Heritage, page 26. 2. Review the material for this lesson in the Class Member Study Guide, item 35686. Plan ways to refer to the material during the lesson. 3. If you use the attention activity, bring a piece of paper and a pen or pencil for each class member. Suggestions for lesson development. Attention activity. As appropriate, use the following activity or one of your own to begin the lesson. Give each class member a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. Ask each person to list 5 of his or her valued material possessions. Then read Doctrine and Covenants, Section 104, verses 13 and 14 with class members. What do we learn from these verses about the true owner of all we possess? How do you feel about the use of your possessions when you realize that all things on the earth are the Lord's? Explain that the principles taught in these verses are fundamental to living the law of consecration. This lesson focuses on this law and the ways in which we can more fully consecrate our lives to the Lord. Discussion and application. Prayerfully select the lesson material that will best meet class members' needs. Encourage class members to share experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. 1. The Lord revealed the law of consecration to the saints. Explain that in February 1831, soon after the saints began to gather in Kirtland, Ohio, the Lord revealed that they should begin to live the law of consecration. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 30. What does consecrate mean? It means to set apart or dedicate something to the service of the Lord. What is the law of consecration? It is an organized way in which individuals consecrate their time, talents, and possessions to the church to build the Lord's kingdom and serve His children. What are the purposes of the law of consecration? Have class members read the following scriptures and identify what they teach about the purposes of the law of consecration. Summarize these purposes on the chalkboard. Select some of the following questions to encourage discussion. A. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 30. To care for the poor and needy. How is caring for the poor and needy accomplished through the law of consecration? See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verses 31 through 34. B. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 35. To purchase lands, build houses of worship, and build the New Jerusalem. C. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 40. To help the Lord's people overcome pride. How can living the law of consecration help members overcome personal pride or greed? D. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 42. To help the Lord's people be industrious and avoid idleness. E. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 51, verse 9. To help the Lord's people be one. In what ways does the Lord expect us to be one? How can the law of consecration help the saints be one? F. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 78, verses 3 through 7. To make the Lord's people equal in earthly things and help them receive a place in the celestial kingdom. how does being equal in earthly things help us obtain heavenly things? Doctrine and Covenants, Section 78, verse 5. G. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 78, verse 14. To help the church stand independent above all other creatures. H. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 82, verses 17 through 19. To help the Lord's people improve their talents for the good of all, seek the interest of their neighbor, and do all things with an eye single to God's glory. How can living the law of consecration help the Lord's people develop greater charity? Emphasize that from these purposes, it is clear that the law of consecration is not just a temporal or economic program. It is also a spiritual law that helps members grow spiritually and prepare for eternal life. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 29, verses 34 and 35. Explain that the principles of the law of consecration have not changed since it was revealed through the prophet Joseph Smith. However, the application of those principles changes from time to time. The current prophet helps us understand how to apply these principles in our day. You may want to use the following material to explain how the law of consecration was administered during the early days of the church. The early saints attempted to live the law for periods of time in Ohio, Missouri, and Utah. Some of the saints lived the law well, but the church as a whole failed to live it. See also Our Heritage, page 26. Consecrating possessions. Under the law of consecration, church members voluntarily consecrated their possessions to the church by legal deed. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 30. Receiving a stewardship. After church members consecrated their possessions, the bishop granted them stewardships or portions from all the properties received. The size of the stewardship depended on the circumstances and needs of the family, as determined by the bishop in consultation with the member who received it. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 32, Section 51, verse 3. The stewardship was given with a deed of ownership, so each member would be fully responsible and accountable for managing it. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 51, verse 4, Section 72, verses 3 and 4, Section 104, verses 11 through 13. The stewardship, then, was treated as private property, not common or communal property, even though all property ultimately belongs to God. Surpluses. If members produced a surplus from their stewardships beyond what was necessary for their families, at the end of the year they gave it to the bishop to put in the bishop's storehouse. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verse 33, Section 51, verse 13. The bishop used the surplus to care for the poor, to build houses of worship, and for other worthy purposes. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, verses 34 and 35. United Order. In March 1832, the Lord revealed that there must be an organization to regulate and administer the law of consecration among His people. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 78, verse 3. He called this organization the United Order. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 92, verse 1. In subsequent revelations, the Lord gave further instructions concerning the United Order. See, for example, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 104. 2. The law of consecration is an eternal law. The law of consecration is an eternal law that the Lord revealed again in our dispensation. Accounts of the Lord's people living this law are included in the Pearl of Great Price, New Testament, and Book of Mormon. Read or review the following passages with class members. A. Moses chapter 7, verse 18, the people of Enoch. B. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and verses 34 and 35, the saints after the Savior's resurrection. C. 4 Nephi chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and verses 12 and 13 and 15, the Nephites after the Savior's visit to them. What do you think would be some of the blessings of living in a community where people live the law of consecration? 3. We can consecrate our lives to the Lord now. As saints of God, we must be prepared and willing to live the law of consecration in its fullness. But we do not need to wait for a future day to consecrate our lives to the Lord. As we do all we can to live the law of consecration today, we will be better prepared to live the fullness of the law when the Lord asks us to do so. In what ways can we live the law of consecration in our lives today? Use the following information to discuss or add to class members' responses. Write the headings on the chalkboard as you discuss them. Realize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. If you use the attention activity, refer back to it. If you did not use it, read Doctrine and Covenants, section 104, verses 13 and 14, and Psalm 24, verse 1, with class members. What can we learn from these verses? What does it mean to be a steward over our possessions? How should this knowledge affect our attitude toward our possessions? Why is it important to understand that everything belongs to the Lord? What does the Lord promise as we are faithful stewards over what He has given us? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 51, verse 19, section 78, verse 22. Bishop Victor L. Brown, former presiding bishop of the church, said that until we feel in total harmony with the principle that everything we have belongs to the Lord, it will be difficult, if not impossible, for us to accept the law of consecration. As we prepare to live this law, we will look forward with great anticipation to the day when the call will come. If, on the other hand, we hope it can be delayed so we can have the pleasure of accumulating material things, we are on the wrong path. The Law of Consecration, 1976 Devotional Speeches of the Year, page 439. Read Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verse 26 with class members. What warning did the Lord give to Martin Harris in this verse? Why must we overcome covetousness if we are to consecrate our lives to the Lord? How can we overcome covetous feelings? President Brigham Young said, "I am more afraid of covetousness in our elders than I am of the hordes of hell. All our enemies in the world and all hell with them marshaled against us could not do us the injury that covetousness in the hearts of this people could do us, for it is idolatry." In Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, page 353. Make the sacrifices the Lord requires now. We must be willing to make the sacrifices that the Lord requires of us at the present time. These include sacrifices of time, talents, and possessions. The First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve give us direction regarding how we implement the principles of the law of consecration in our day. How can we consecrate our time, talents, and possessions to help build the kingdom of God today? Answers may include those listed below. A. Pay tithing and fast offerings and give generously in other ways to those in need. By doing these things, we can help the church care for the poor and carry on the important activities necessary to build the kingdom of God on earth. Elder Marion G. Romney asked, "What prohibits us from giving as much in fast offerings as we would have given in surpluses under the United Order?" Nothing but our own limitations. In Conference Report, April 1966, page 100, or Improvement Era, June 1966, page 537. B. Serve willingly in the church. The Lord has admonished each person to learn his duty and to act in the office in which he is appointed in all diligence. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 99. We should fulfill the callings we receive to the best of our ability. In addition to specific church callings, we can share the gospel with others, do temple work, and seek to strengthen the testimony of those who are new or weak in the faith. C. Serve as a full-time missionary. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the Twelve taught, going on a mission teaches you to live the law of consecration. It may be the only time in your life when you can give to the Lord all your time, talents, and resources. In return, the Lord will bless you with His Spirit to be with you. He will be close to you and strengthen you. In Conference Report, April 1996, page 50, or Ensign, May 1996, page 36. Develop Christ-like love for others. Read Doctrine and Covenants, section 82, verse 19, and Jacob, chapter 2, verse 17, with class members. What does the Lord teach in these scriptures about how we are to show our love for others? Why is developing Christ-like love for others necessary if we are to live the law of consecration? Explain that the ability to have Christ-like love for others is the foundation of the law of consecration. As we grow in love, our ability to live this law will also grow. Invite class members to share experiences when they or others have sacrificed their time and resources to help others in a time of need. If appropriate, you might share the following story told by President Thomas S. Monson. I have many memories of my boyhood. Anticipating Sunday dinner was one of them. Just as we children sat anxiously at the table, with the aroma of roast beef filling the room, Mother would say to me, Tommy, before we eat, take this plate I've prepared down the street to old Bob and hurry back. I could never understand why we couldn't first eat and later deliver his plate of food. I never questioned aloud, but would run down to his house and then wait anxiously as Bob's aged feet brought him eventually to the door. Then I would hand him the plate of food. He would present to me the clean plate from the previous Sunday and offer me a dime as pay for my services. My answer was always the same. I can't accept the money. My mother would tan my hide. He would then run his wrinkled hand through my blonde hair and say, My boy, you have a wonderful mother. Tell her thank you. Sunday dinner always seemed to taste a bit better after I had returned from my errand. The Long Line of the Lonely, Ensign, February 1992, page 4. Strive to consecrate all aspects of our lives to the Lord. Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve said, We tend to think of consecration only in terms of property and money, but there are so many ways of keeping back part. In Conference Report, October 1992, page 90, or Ensign, November 1992, page 66. What are some ways in which we might be keeping back part when we could achieve greater consecration in the service of God and His children? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 34, and the following examples from Elder Maxwell of how we sometimes fall short in the consecration we should give. A. An unwillingness to be completely submissive to the Lord's will. The submission of one's will is really the only uniquely personal thing we have to place on God's altar, Elder Maxwell said. The many other things we give are actually the things He has already given or loaned to us. However, when you and I finally submit ourselves by letting our individual wills be swallowed up in God's will, then we are really giving something to Him. It is the only possession which is truly ours to give. In Conference Report, October 1995, page 30, or Ensign, November 1995, page 24. B. An unwillingness to give up selfish things such as our roles, our time, our preeminence, and our possessions. In Conference Report, October 1995, page 28. C. Letting hobbies and preoccupations with less important things become too consuming. D. Giving commendable civic service, but remaining a comparative stranger to Jesus' holy temples and His holy scriptures. In Conference Report, October 1995, page 27. E, being dutiful in family responsibilities, but not emulating Jesus' example of gentleness with some family members. F, building up ourselves first, rather than the kingdom of God. G, sharing talents publicly while privately retaining a particular pride. H, accepting a church calling while having a heart more set on maintaining a certain role in the world. See Conference Report October 1992, pages 88 through 92, or Ensign November 1992, pages 65 through 67, and Conference Report October 1995, pages 27 through 30, or Ensign November 1995, pages 22 through 24. How are we blessed as we strive for more complete consecration? Conclusion. Encourage class members to examine their lives to determine how they can consecrate themselves more fully to the Lord. Explain that we can do these things by acknowledging that all we possess belongs to the Lord, by willingly making the sacrifices required of us now, and by developing Christ-like love for other people. Additional teaching ideas. You may want to use one or both of the following ideas to supplement the suggested lesson outline. 1. The Lord's Storehouse. The Lord's Storehouse is mentioned several times in the Doctrine and Covenants in connection with caring for the poor. Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 34, section 78, verse 3, section 83, verses 5 through 6. To help class members understand what the Lord's Storehouse is and how it is used today, share the following information from the Church Handbook of Instructions. The Lord's Storehouse receives, holds in trust, and dispenses consecrated offerings of the saints. The storehouse may be as simple or sophisticated as circumstances require. It may be a list of available services, money in an account, food in a pantry, or commodities in a building. A storehouse is established when faithful members consecrate to the bishop their time, talents, skills, compassion, materials, and financial means in caring for the poor and in building up the kingdom of God on the earth. The Lord's storehouse, therefore, exists in each ward. The bishop is the agent of the storehouse. Guided by inspiration from the Lord, he distributes the saints' offerings to the poor and needy. He is assisted by priesthood quorums and the Relief Society. He is instructed and supported in his responsibilities by stake and area leaders. Book 2, Priesthood and Auxiliary Leaders, page 256. How can each of us contribute to the resources of the Lord's storehouse in our ward? 2. Equal in earthly things, Doctrine and Covenants, section 78, verse 6. The word equal is frequently used in the Doctrine and Covenants in relation to temporal things. Doctrine and Covenants, section 51, verse 3, section 70, verse 14, section 78, verse 6. Explain that this does not mean that all stewardships are exactly the same. Rather, they are given according to the needs of each person and family. Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 32, section 51, verse 3. They are equal in the sense that all saints have equal claims on the properties to meet their needs. Doctrine and Covenants, section 82, verse 17. End of lesson 14. The Law of Consecration, Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual.